Welcome back, and let's begin now. We are on Daf Samech Dalet, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So let's take it in the bottom of Samech Gimel and Beis, if that's okay. I don't know where you were exactly. But the Gemara says, the last five lines, the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Lochin Beitim Min Ovdei Kochavim. A person is allowed to purchase eggs from a non-Jew. Bechol Makom, any place where you are, you could buy eggs from any grocery store that sells them, any chicken farm that's selling them. The egg farm, the ain choshin lomishim nevelos lomishim treifas. There's no concern that it's going to come from an animal that may have been nevela, meaning the animal was dead and then you took the egg out after it was nevela, or the animal was a treifa. There is no such chashash, and the reason is because even though it's a possibility, that possibility is a miut ba'alma, and Rove tells us that you're able to rely on the Rove that it came from an animal that was a kosher and not a treifa or a nevela. So Gemara says, okay, granted the animal's not a nevela, the animal's not a trefa, these are very unlikely circumstances, but dilma de'of tamei ninu, but maybe it comes from a non-kosher bird. The concern the Gemara just addressed was it being nevela and trefa. But let's say it came from, I don't know, an ostrich, let's say. Well, that you could probably tell the size of the egg, but how do you know it came from an animal that's kosher? So the Gemara says, Amar Abu Adishmu, Abu Adishmu, the father of Shmu explained, Be'omer shel of ploni tahor. So you go to the grocery store and they tell you, this comes from a chicken. This comes from the chicken, a kosher chicken, and therefore you can rely on him. But if he doesn't say that, you buy an egg in a store, it doesn't label it, so then one would not be allowed to. It's only because he tells you it comes from a kosher bird. So the Gemara asks, how come it has to be shel of ploni tahor? Le malei shel of tahor. Why is it ploni? Why does he specify? Can he just say it's a kosher animal? Why does he have to say it comes from a particular, he has to specify it's a chicken that's kosher. Why not say some kosher animal? So the so first look at the Rashi before, and why do we rely on the guy who tells us it comes from the elf ploni tower? When he tells us which animal comes from, how do you know he's not lying? So Rashi tells us, shel of ploni tahor, vani yodim, we know, she also of tahor, who? And we know that that chicken is a kosher animal. The davar shanu yuchol nahavchenu lahavi beitei osa of liros imdomim le'elu lo mashaker. If he tells us where the animal comes from, and I could test him, say, you know what, I'm going to test you out. I'm going to buy a chicken egg and compare the eggs and see if he's telling the truth or not. Since he could be caught in his lie, he wouldn't lie. Something that he could be caught on, we could trust a goy in that case. So since he tells us which kosher bird it is, and if he wanted, we could check the egg out, so then we could rely on his statement. So the Gemara asks again, Vilema shel of tar. Why does he have to specify which particular bird? Can he simply say some kosher bird? So the Gemara explained to Ihachi, if he tells us just some kosher bird that it comes from, Isle Lishtamute, he's able to avoid it. Rashi explains, Isle Lishtamute, last Rashi in the page here, Vilomer, and he could say, shel of acher martilcha, shiata makir vahutar. You can't check. In other words, if you don't know which particular kosher bird it is, he can always say, oh, a different kosher bird, a different species. But once he specifies which particular bird that this egg comes from, then since you're able to figure out and check that egg, he has a certain amount of nemanus. Before we turn the page, look at, we're not there yet, but before you go vayte, look at Tosis in the bottom here. Dilma de'of tamei ninu. Vim tomar kevin de'ofos tahorim havaruba. Since there are more kosher birds in the world, the non-kosher birds, basar, niza basaruba, why not just, without the guy even telling us which bird this comes from, just say, rove eggs in this world, rove birds in this world are kosher, so you could rely on rove and eat the animal, eat the egg. So the Gemara Tos explains, Lefi mashi pirashi, what I explained above, demarba kamaminim nicha, that even though there are more kosher species in this world, there really are more non-kosher species. He explains this earlier, that even though it's like a certain bird, an ostrich, there are many types of ostriches, let's say, or there's an eagle, there are many types of eagles. So even though, I don't remember the different names, like the family name and like the different, but even though there's only a few family names of kosher birds, there are many subcategories, which makes that there are more non-kosher birds than kosher birds, and there is no rove to work with. Look at the Gemara now, back inside the last two lines. The Gemara asks, V'libdok b'simanim. So why do you have to ask the guy which bird this comes from? You could look at the egg itself, and you could tell there are certain simanim that tell us where the egg comes from, whether it comes from a kosher bird or a non-kosher bird. What are these simanim? Disanya, the Braisa tells us, kisimani beitzim kach simani dagim. Just exactly how the simanim, the different indicators on an egg, is how the indicators of a fish. Gemara says, Simani Dagim Saka Daitach? You want to compare the Simanim of a Beitza to the Simanim of Dagim? Saka Daitach, Sinapi Vikaskes, the Pasuk tells us. Has to be a Sinapi Vikaskes, the fins and scales. There are no fins and scales on eggs. So what's the comparison of Simani Beitzim to Simani Dagim? So Amar Rachman, the Gemara says, Ela Ema, what I mean to say is, Kach Simani Ubre Dagim. The comparison is not to fish, but rather to the eggs of fish. There are certain simanim on the eggs of fish that you could tell whether the fish is kosher or not from the eggs. That's what we're comparing the eggs of birds to the eggs of fish. So what are these simanim? So says the Gemara. The Tani, the Braisa, tells us, Gavi Beitim, with respect to Beitim, the simani dagim, or simani ubre dagim, are slightly different according to the Rambam. The Gemara here is only addressing the Beitim of the birds. The Gemara explains as follows. That Tani Gavi Beitim, Elu Hein Simani Beitim, the following are the indicators, the Simanim, that tell us whether the eggs are kosher or not kosher. Kol She Koderis Vilgugalis, that every egg is somewhat circular, oval. And Rosha Echad Kad, if one of the ends of the egg is more of like a pitcher, it's wide. The Rosha Echad Chad, the other end is a little bit closed, sharper, pointier, like our regular eggs that we buy. The bottom, it's wider, and the top is more of a tip. So that would be an indicator, that's a simen, that Beitza is tahor, that's kosher. If, however, Shnei Rosha Kadim, if both ends are wide, Shnei Rosha Chadim, or both ends are pointy, so then that's indicating it's Temeim. And if chelbon mibuchutz vechelmon mibifnim, if the white part is on the outside and the yellow chelmon, the yellow part is on the inside, which is like our eggs are, that's also an indicator that's tahora. If, however, it's the opposite, if chelmon is going to be mibuchutz vechelbon mibifnim, if the yellow is on the outside and the white is on the inside, that's indicating it's tamei. And if it's chelmon v'chelbon me'uravin zebezeh, if, however, the white and the yellow, the chelmon and chelbon are mixed together, b'yadua shubeitzas hasheretz. That tells us it comes from a sheretz. So we see from here, so why do you have to ask the goy where this egg comes from? Look at the egg, look at the shape. If the tip is sharp and the other end is wide, or the inside is yellow, the outside is white, that's a simen that the animal is kosher. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha dichatuchos. It's talking a situation where you're buying an egg that's already been cut. What does it mean, cut? So according to one day, Rashi says, chatuchos means, it's kind of chipped or something, the shell is chipped, so you can't really tell. Obviously the egg is going to pour out, so it's part of it's intact, but the other part was cut off, so the egg's inside this cup of the egg, but you can't see both ends. You have like the base, let's say, that's wide, but the top was chipped off, so you don't know if the top was also wide, or the top would end up coming to a tip, and therefore you can't tell. And that's why you have to ask the goy, where did this egg come from? But had it been full, had it been intact, ein hachanami, you'd be able to rely on the simanim of the egg. So the Gemara says, okay, even if the tip of the shell has been chipped off a little bit, and you can't tell from the shell, v'libdok b'chelmon v'chelbon. So why not look in the inside? When you pour out the egg, see if the yellow, the embryo's on the inside, and the white's on the outside, that would indicate it's tahor, and had it not been that way, it's going to be usur. So Gemara says, no, we're talking about a situation, the trufos b'kara, where the egg is mixed together, where someone already mixed the yellow and white together, so you can't anymore tell whether the yellow was initially on the inside or the outside. But in a chanami, had it not been mixed, you would be able to tell. But our particular case is where it's mixed together, and that's why you have to rely on the statement of the guy. So the Gemara says, wait a second, v'ki agavna mizavinan, could you really buy an egg from a guy that's been mixed together? Don't we have the following din? Tells us Vahatani, the Braisa teaches us that Ein Mochin Beitas Trefa Lo'ved Kochavim. If you want to sell Beitas Trefa, we can't eat an egg. You have a chicken that's a trefa. It's, I don't know, missing a leg. And it lays some eggs. So we can't eat that because that's Beitas Trefa. A goy is allowed to eat a Beitas Trefa. So you're allowed to sell, and you could sell to a goy, a Beitas Trefa. But the Gemara, the Braisa, makes a stipulation here that Ein Mochin Beitas Trefa Lo'ved Kochavim. You can only sell to them Elam Kain Trufa. Unless you mix it together first. Because if you don't mix it together, you sell it whole. If I see that Ezra's selling his eggs to the guy, I'm going to buy that same egg from the guy. I didn't know it came from a Beit HaStrefa. So the simon is, always mix it together before you sell to a guy. And I know the din is that make sure that a Jew never buys, I mean, a gzera, never buy a mixed egg from a guy because perhaps it came from a Beit HaStrefa. And Lufikach, the Braisa concludes, Ein lo kin mehem betas chufos bekara. And therefore we never buy eggs that are mixed together, lest it come from a betas chefa. So how could the Gemara establish now that what's a situation where you rely on the guy? It's a situation where you can't rely on the simanim. It's either because the egg shell is the shell is chipped, or the eggs are mixed together, and that's why you can't rely on the simanim. But we just learned in the Braisa, you can never buy an egg that was mixed together from a guy. So what's going on here? Why would you ever have to rely on a goy if you could always look at the simanim, either the shape of the eggshell or the chelmon and the chelbon? So Gemara says, you know what? In reality, Eli Amar Rabbi Zeira simanim lav deraisa. Really, the simanim we mentioned before about the shapes of the eggs and the yellow and the eggs, the yellow and the white rather, are not really simanim, and that's why you have to rely on the goy. You can't rely on the simanim alone. So what's going on here? The Gemara explains as follows. How do we know that simanim of a beitza are not deraisa? Dilo teimahach, if we don't say this, I mean, if you do say that they're really deraisa, ha'dama Ravasi, Ravasi says, shmona sveikos hein, there are eight different sveikos, eight different shilas that come up. That might be, that's a suffix, whether or not they come from different birds and stuff. So the Gemara says, why are there eight sveikos? Livdok with Beitzim, they do. Why not simply check, test out? There are eight animals. We don't know if they're kosher or not. Look at the eggs. See the shape of the eggs. Won't the eggs tell us whether these Suffolk animals are kosher or not kosher? It must be the fact that we can't, since we can't tell whether or not these animals are kosher or not kosher, why don't we use the eggs? Because the eggs are not really simanim. Simanim lav deraisa in this particular concept. And the Shema Amina says the Gemara, simanim lav deraisa. So if simanim are not the raisa, elamai hilchas akatanila. So why did the Gemara say if the egg, the bottom of the egg is wide, the top is thin, it's kosher? If they don't really do anything for us, if simanim allowed the raisa, why did the raisa go and list these simanim which don't really work? The Gemara says hachi kamar. This is what the raisa means. If it's a situation if the eggs are shnei rashei akadim. If both ends of the eggshell are wide, shnei rashei akadim, or both ends are skinny. Chelmon mibechutz vechelbon mibefnim, or the yellow is on the yellow's on the outside, the white's on the inside. Those are clear indicators. Vadai tameah. Those eggs are tameah. If, however, reisha chad, one end is sharp, reisha chad kad, the other one is wide, and also vechelbon mibechutz vechelbon mibefnim, and the white's on the outside, the yellow's on the inside, and on top of that, Amr lachashal of ploni vitower who. And the guy says, and this happens to come from a chicken. So all that together, him saying it's a chicken, and it looks like a wide bottom and skinny top, all that you could be samech aleim. But bistama, if he doesn't say anything, you just go into the grocery store, he doesn't say a thing, and you see eggs that have a wide bottom and a skinny top, lo tismoch aleim, you cannot rely on his words, because simanim alav deraisa. And the concern is, why not? Because the ika de orva de dami le diona. Apparently, the eggs of the ravens are similar to the eggs of the yona, and therefore they clearly can't work as simanim. The ravens have eggs that have skinny tops and wide bottoms, and for that reason, you can't rely on simply looking at the eggs. But if the goy tells you that it comes from the yona, it comes from a chicken, so then one can rely on all those different factors together. There's a machlokas here in Tosafot. We don't have to read through this right now. Although the Gemara says simanim lav deraisa legabe betas of, there is a machlokas in Rabbi Natan versus the Yushalmi, whether by the ubre dogim we say the same thing as well. Do we now also say the simanim of the ubre dogim are also not deraisa, or no? This is a chilek that although by betas of we don't rely on simanim, perhaps by ubre dogim we do rely on simanim. Okay, let's go by it now. Gemara says, around 8 lines up, the Gemara says, Amar mar chelbon v'chelma muravin zebezeh b'yaduah shu beitas hasheretz. If, when you open up the eggs, that you have the white and the yellow mixed together, that's a clear indicator that it comes from a sheretz. The mai hilchasa, so who cares? What's the halachic nafkamina, whether or not it comes from a sheretz, it doesn't come from a sheretz? So Amar rav ukva barchama lomar shem rikma v'nikva b'kadosh v'metame, read it here. So if, let's say, Shem Rikma, what's Im Rikma? Means, Rashi says, Rikma 5, 6 narrow lines up, Notar Sheretz B'socha. You have an egg, and inside the egg, you see there's a little Sheretz that's inside the egg. V'nikva, says Rashi, Sheyuchal Liga B'rikum, and lets the hole in the egg, so you have a little, I don't know, egg of whatever animal it is, and there's a hole in that egg, you see the Sheretz inside. So the din is, if it's b'kadosha, if that sheretz that's inside is the size of a kadosha, the size of a lentil, it's metame, it's able to have the tumah, sheretz is metame, through that hole. That's the din. So the Gemara says, so now therefore if you open up a eggshell, you find the yellow and white mixed together, and it's the size of Kadasha, and there's a hole, that can make a person tame mituma sheretz. So asks the Gemara, maskev lo ravina, v'dilma dinachashi. Maybe it's a nachash. Snakes also, apparently, the eggs, snake eggs also have the yellow and white mixed together. And a nachash is not considered a sheretz. It's not metame. So it's not a clear indicator. It's not biyadua that if it's yellow and white mixed together, it's vaday from tuma sheretz. Perhaps it's from a nachash, and the nachash is not metame sheretz. So that can't be what the relevance is. Ela amarava shimrikma v'ochla lokale mishim sheretz. Hasheretz al aretz. The relevant nafkamina is if you eat the sheretz, not be din tuma, if you eat it. And a nachash is bechlal, the iser of eating a sheretz hasheretz al aretz. And therefore, if you see an eggshell, a person eats an eggshell with yellow and white mixed together, and he eats the whole egg, he's going to get malchus because it's vaday a sheretz, either a sheretz that's metame or even a nachash that's not metame, midin iser of chilas sheretz. So ask the Gemara Yehachi, that's the case. My irya de tmeya. Who cares? Why does it have to dafka say that the animal is a sheretz tame? Afilu tahor nami. Even if it's an animal that's tahor, even if it's an animal, an egg, that's a kosher bird, it's also going to be usher if it's still in the eggshell. Why? The Torah nami, the Sani, the Braisa tells us this is also borrowed from the Gemara in Beitza. Kol ha-sheretz ha-sheretz ala aretz. The pasuk says, all those creepy crawlers on the ground, what's it coming to include, says the Gemara, l'rabos to include efrochim shelo niftichu einehem. That even birds, small birds that have not yet opened their eyes yet, if a person were to eat them, it's aser midin sheretz kol ha-sheretz ala aretz. That an animal that crawls on the ground, that's aser as well. And the Gemara says, no, midirabanan v'kras machtabalma. Really, midiraisa, if a person eats a bird that hasn't yet opened its eyes yet, that's not really asr midiraisa. They just created an isr midirabanan of eating such a bird. But midiraisa is not really bechlal. Midiraisa, the only type of sheretz that's really asr is only a animal that is a non-kosher animal. Now, the interesting raya here, the Pri Chadash brings the following. The Pri Chadash says, at least in this Havamina, where the Gemara wants to say that that we're including a sheretz that's in the Beitza here, even that, there's a discussion in the Poskim whether or not a shratzim that don't grow from the ground, but rather they grow in meat, they grow in eggs, they grow in other things that don't grow from the ground, whether or not that's going to be us, or let's say fish. If you find worms in fish, they start off in fish, they don't grow from the ground. Is that going to be considered usr or not? So Pri Chadash says, based on this Gemara here, that since these shratzim are growing within eggs, and there's an issur d'oraisa to each such shratzim, so too any types of worms or shratzim that appear in meat or fish or cheese is also bichlal an issur d'oraisa of a sheretz al haaretz. That's the understanding of the Pri Chadash, and other poskim arguments say, no, not true at all, that it's only usr if they actually are gedulim mekark, only if they grow from the ground. But if it's found in basar, dog and vagvina, which don't grow from the ground, there would not be an issur d'oraisa of eating such bugs. Okay. The Gemara now says as follows. Two lines down in Samach Dalad Mabez, Tanur Rabbanan. Gule Beitim Mutaras. What's Gule Beitim? Says Rashi and Tapir. Gule Beitim is Beita Temeya. You have a Beita from a non-kosher bird. Shinis Bashla im Hatahora that was cooked with a kosher egg. They are Mutaros. Why the Mutaros, says Rashi? Hatahorim. The Tara animal, the Tara eggs are kosher. Demaya Ba'almahu V'lo Yov Taima Brachinasa. So let's say, I don't know, you cooked eggs together in a pot. And one of the eggs are kosher, one of the eggs are not kosher, so you can't eat the non-kosher egg, but you can eat the kosher egg. Ah, don't we say when you cook Isser and Mutter, the Isser is going to now be nosing tam in the Dover Heter, and the Dover Heter is going to be us as well. So if you cook kosher meat and non-kosher meat together, even the kosher meat is going to be usr, because the non-kosher meat is no same time into the kosher meat. So how come this is mutaras? So Gemara Rashi explains, because apparently the eggs don't have much flavor. It's maya ba'alma. All it is water, and only something that gives flavor is going to be usr, tam ki ikr. But if it doesn't give any flavor, it's not going to affect the kosher egg. The Prima Gadol has a shaila. What does it mean that this non-kosher eggs don't give flavor? Does it mean there's no flavor at all, or it's a very subtle flavor? What's the nafkamina? So he says, let's say you have, there's a din when it comes to bittul. If let's say the tam, let's say milk falls into meat, so the halacha is it's a batum b'shishim, it's batum. But let's see if a situation where it's davar sheyesh l'matirim, that even though right now something might be bitul, but if you wait a little bit, it will be mutter. So what's an example? So let's say, let's see if a case, the Gemara in Beita talks about something that's muksa. Something that muksa falls in to, you have wood, and some muksa falls into the other wood. So I can't use muksa on yantif, but let's say I say bitul, but there's more kosher wood. Let's say it's more prepared wood, etim dar muchan, that had mixed together with muksa wood. I'm don't I say rove? Most of the wood is muchan. And Gemara says, since if I wait till after yontif, it's going to be davar sheyesh matirim. I don't apply bittul now. If I'm able to wait till later on, we don't say bittul now. That's the din of davar sheyesh matirim. So Prima Gadim says the nafkamina is if let's say the situation with davar sheyesh matirim, if the non-kosher eggs have no flavor at all, there's not even bittul to speak of. You don't have to, there's nothing to be bittul, and you don't have to wait for davar sheyesh matirin, and it's mutter right now. But if we're saying that the tam of the non-kosher egg is actually a little bit flavorful, but we just supply bittul since it's such a weak tam, we say it doesn't affect the kosher egg, so if it's a case of davar sheyesh matirin, we would say wait until it's mutter, in which case we don't have to rely on rove. I know a little bit tricky there, but that's a din of iser v'hetar.
I thought if you put in like coloring into water, the eggs, you open up the egg, it will have the color. You know, otherwise the shell, the egg is permeable.
Yeah, and therefore what?
I'm saying it absorbs.
Yeah, but there's no tam though. It's all about tam, the taste.
So it has to be the reason of tam,
right.
And not the other.
Right. I'm not sure. Okay. So then the Gemara says, three lines down, Beitim Muzaros. What's Beitim Muzaros? So Rashi explains here, Beitim Muzaros says, She'enim shel zachar, Veina froach, kalot behem liolm. It's an animal that eggs, nowadays all the eggs are not fertilized, that you get from the chickens and stuff. There are no males around, so therefore they're not fertilized. So if it's an animal that's beta, that's unfertilized, so you're allowed to eat, the egg won't turn into a chicken, and therefore you're allowed to eat them. However, nefesh yafa tochlem. What do you mean nefesh yafa tochlem? Nefesh yafa means a person's got a wide nefesh. He wants to eat, he'll eat anything. Rashi explains nefesh yafa tochlam she'eino istinus. He's not an istinus. He doesn't care about these things. Vein daito katzabem tochlam. Apparently, it wasn't so attractive to eat, but the guy didn't care. He wasn't disgusted by this. He could eat it. The afal pishi yosher alem tarnagolus yam rabim. Even though tarnagolus was sitting out for many many days, has been sitting out for a long time. He's allowed to. He will, as long as he's willing to. There's no iser involved in eating this. And let's say, says the Gemara, Nimsa le kore dam, zorek es adam ve'ochas ashar. Let's say you find blood in the egg. All you have to do is throw out that piece of blood, the drop of blood, and the rest of it you could eat. I mean, normally the lach is, if you have an egg and you find blood in it, the way it used to be is, that usually indicated that that animal was fertilized already, and it just didn't turn into a chicken, or it might turn into a chicken, and therefore you can't eat it because it's not really a bait, it's really going to be an animal, a chicken in the end of the day. But if it's an egg that wasn't fertilized, so any blood that you find in it can't be from the chicken dying. It just blood somehow got in there from the chicken, from the mother or the father, and the mother, I guess, and therefore it doesn't affect the entire egg. All you have to do is remove the blood, and it's fine. Nowadays, all eggs that we buy are unfertilized, and therefore if you were to find any blood, all you have to do is remove that blood stain and then eat the rest of it. But Ramosha Paskins, that even though that's the case, he says, our practice is, since it's not much of a hefsid mamon for us to throw out an egg here and there, if one does find a blood spot on the egg, throw out the whole thing. Even though Mikar din, you don't have to. You just have to remove the blood stain itself, and the rest you can eat. The practice is to throw out the entire egg. So this is all true when it comes to a unfertilized egg. But again, if it's a fertilized egg, and there's a zacha that's around as well, then if you see a blood spot, you have to throw out the entire egg. Okay, Gemara now says, Amar Rebbe Yirmiyah. Rebbe Yirmiyah says, "Who shenim sal kesher shalot." Only if you find it on the kesher. What does that mean? So Rashi explains here. First, now lying down, "Who shenim sal adam al kesher shalot." Who zera shatarnagol hakasher berosh hakad? It's the zera that apparently is on the end of the beitza. And that's where the chicken begins to develop from. Since it's still there, sharp, since it's still in the source where everything began, where the fertilization began, it didn't spread out, so only that area is where the fertilization took place, just throughout that dam, and the rest of it's permitted. Aval, says Rashi, nimsa al chelmon, if you find it on the yellow part, shala, inside the center where the embryo is, then the entire thing is kulo, is going to be usur. So the only time you're allowed to just throw out the piece of blood, if it's mamish on the kesher, the tip of it. So back inside the Gemara now. Gemara says, Tani dustoi avuad de rebi apotariki. Loshanu el shenimsa al chelmon shala. This is only true again if you find it on the white part, on the outside. Aval nimsa al chelmon, if you find it on the yellow part, on the inside shala, then afilo beitza asur. Then the entire egg is going to be asur. My time, what's the reasoning? Deshada tachla bekula, because apparently that the embryo, the zera, had been spread throughout the entire egg, and therefore the entire egg is going to be asur. So Amalei Rav Gvia, Mibei Kasil Rav Ashi, Rav Gvia, who was from Bei Kasil, that's where he was located, that's where he lived, he said to Rav Ashi, Ipcha Tani, they taught the opposite, and Tani, Tani, Kami Devaiva, Bai Hu Detarti Nehele Yehachi, they actually taught the opposite, that if you actually found it on one part, it's going to be mutter. Rashi says this. Rashi explains here. Ipcha tani tani kamidia baye tana echad hayashone also the fun of ipcha lo shano ela shenimta al chelmon shala. It's only true if you find it on the yellow part. Is it going to be mutter? Just throw out the blood and the rest you could eat. But if you find it on the white part, that's when we say that the entire animal, the entire egg, is going to be asur. Okay, there's an interesting discussion Pir Chadosh has here. Based on the din of Baal Tishaksu, the Gemara had said above that apparently, I'm not sure you ever bought eggs that were not fertilized, but outside of the store, many eggs have blood stains, spots in them, if you don't buy them from the way they've been farmed and stuff like that. So they're disgusting. They look dirty, they look gross. There's a guy in the Cedarhurst who has eggs. He has in his yard. He has chickens laying eggs all the time. So they're dirty and they're red. So you have to be nefesh yuffy. You have to really be willing to eat such eggs here. So others won't eat it. It's a violation of Baal Tishaksu. So Pichadosh talks about a situation that even though the rest of the world will find such a thing disgusting, it's not an objective thing. The definition of that which is Baal Tishaksu, that which is also to eat because it's disgusting to a person, is not an objective standard. It depends on each person. So even though everyone else in the world won't eat the eggs, if you're an individual, will eat such an egg, that's not a violation of Baal Tishaksu. That's what he learns from this particular Gemara. The Stechemet argues and says it can't be, others argue and say it can't be true. The Prima Gadlam says it can't be true. He says no, it does go based on an objective standard. If most people don't like something, then even the particular individuals who would eat it can't eat it either. It's still going to be by violation of Baal Tishaksu. It goes based on objective standards. So Stechemet says there's not really a machlokas here. He says it depends. If it's a situation where the entire world won't eat such a thing, and there's one guy who eats it, that's a violation of Baal Tishaksu. It goes based on objective standards. But if there's a meter, if there's a minority group of people who will in fact eat it, so then that's not a violation of Baal Tishaksu, and one would be able to eat it if you're in that small minority of people who don't get disgusted by this. So the Paras Yosef asks from an interesting question. The Gemara tells us in Kedushin that the Yushalmi, that the mother Rabbi Shmuel would wash the legs of Rabbi Shmuel himself, and then she'd drink the water from Rabbi Shmuel. So why is that not a violation of Baal Tishaksu? Why is that not saying that we're saying that if it's something that's disgusting to the entire world, so even the Pri Chadosh will agree it's usher to eat such a thing, it's usher to drink such a thing. So how come Rabbi Shmuel's mother was drinking the water? No one in the world would drink the water that someone used the feet, that was washed, someone's feet were washed in. So the Dar Chidavar comes to answer, explained, it depends whether or not the object, the item, is inherently Baal Tishaksu, or it's Baal Tishaksu because of something else. Bugs or something that's moldy, that is inherently Baal Tishaksu. Everyone would agree. But water, it's only if a person saw it wash the feet of Rabbi Shmuel would someone not drink it. But objectively, inherently, this water is not actually a problem Baal Tishaksu, and therefore it would not be a violation of this particular issue. That's the chiddush of the Dar Chidavar. And let's finish off the daf now. The Gemara now says halfway down the Amud. Gemara says, Amr Chizkiya says, Minayin lebeitas temeya shi asura min haTorah. How do we know that you can't eat an egg that comes from a non-kosher animal? Shenamar, the Pasuk says, Ves Basyana, it says, Basyana is a like a type of ashes or something like that. The Bas Yana, what do you mean Bas Yana? V'chi Bas Yeshla Yana? Is there daughters when it comes to Yana, this type of bird? The daughters, we only speak of a Bas when it comes to humans. Not when it comes to a bird. And La'ez Zu, Zu Beta, must be termed Beta's Temea. Talking about Beta's Temea, when the Pasuk listing that which you can't eat, it says Bas Yana, must be the Beta of a Yana, a Beta of a non kosher bird, is going to be Aser to eat as well. That's the Pasuk. The Gemara says, Vidilma Hainu Shemayu. Maybe that's what the name of it. Maybe Bas Yana is the name. Not that it's a Bas from a Yana, but it's called a Bas Yana, like Bas Sheva. It's a name. Bas Yana is the name. And we have no Raya that a Beta of a Davar Tameh is Aser. So Gemara says, Lo Sagadat, that one wouldn't think this. Dichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Bas Ami Lachzar Ki Ye'enim Ba'midbar. Ye'enim is Lashon of Yana. So we see here that sometimes we call Ye'enim. The name is really Ye'enim, Yana. So when we say Bas Yana, Bas of Yana, that's how we interpret it. We see from the Pasuk and Eicha that Yana clearly is a name. Bas Yana is not the name. So then the Gemara says below, not true, we never call something the animal a Bas Yana. V'hakshiv, doesn't the Pasuk say in Micha, Ese Mispeid Katanim, V'evel Kivnos Yana. We should eulogize like the Tanim and we should mourn like the Benos Yana. So we see Benos Yana is the name. The Bas Yana is actually the name. So Gemara says, no, ki yana zu shemis habels albaneh. Not that Bas Yana is a name. It's like a Yana mourns over the loss of its children, of its eggs. So Bas Yana is not the name, and therefore Bas means the Bas of a Yana. The Haksib doesn't the Pasuk Yishayahu tell us, v'shachnu sham benos Yana. So again, we see benos Yana come together. They hand in hand. It's the name. The Bas Yana, benos Yana is the name of the bird. So Gemara says, no, a kiyana zu sheshechenes in banet. It's referring to a yana that hovers over, that rests over its banet, but bas yana is not the name, it's the bas, again, of the yana, the beta of the bird. Aksiv doesn't, the pasuk saying Yeshayahu, a different pasuk, it says, techabdeni chayas hasadeh, tanim uvenos yana. Yet again, we see benos yana go hand in hand. It sounds like that's the name of the bird. Gemara says, visagadaitach beta, Beta Bas Meimar Shirahi. Now this Pasuk Yishayahu is talking about singing a praise, singing songs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you're saying it's a Bas Yana, so I understand a Yana bird is able to sing songs, it could chirp. But a Bas Yana, an egg isn't able to sing a song. So clearly the Pasuk Yishayahu means Benos Yana is referring to the type of bird, not referring to the eggs of the bird. Gemara says, Ela Ksiv Yana Uksiv Bas Yana. Sometimes the Pasuk calls it a Yana, sometimes the Pasuk calls it a Bas Yana, and therefore there's two different names for the same type of bird. However, this particular case here, the shiny hacha, the case here in was it Parshas Tazria, no Shmini rather, I think, no, which Tazria, whatever Pasuk lists all the different birds, shiny hacha, the Pasuk Safra, the Shtei Tevos. Here it's clearly that the Pasuk separates Bas and Hayana to two different words. The fact that the Sofer writes them as two different words, as separate words, so Betarti Tevos, Shmamina Tre Shemos Ninu, tells us that two different things. It must be Bas and then Ya'ana, which means Bas from a Ya'ana. That's what it means. So Gemara says, really, whenever the Pasuk separates Bas Ya'ana to two different words, always means two different names? I mean, the Pasuk Shiv wrote Bas Ya'ana as one long word without a space. Since it wrote it as Bas, space, Yana, that means two different things, two different items, Bas of Yana. So Elamat, if that's the case, as Kardela Omer, the Pasuk says, in Parsha Lecha, when it comes to the fighting the kings, the four kings, the five kings, it says, Ace Kardela Omer, and it's written as Kedar Lomer, two different words. So we see, but that's really only one name. So it's not sure every time there's a space that's necessarily two different words. We have other times where there's one word that is separated by a space. Now the truth is, we don't have this Girsa. In our Sifrei Torah, it's really one word. The Miri says, the whole Shakatar, how would you read this exactly? But we don't have this Mesorah. It's really one word. But this is the Gemara asks this question anyway. And where it says, the Pasuk Safra Basar Hachi, Nami Detarti Shmai Ninu. So we see here, as Kedar Lomer, even though, at least according to the Gemara, the Sofer writes in two separate words, are you going to say this is two names as well? Certainly not. So Gemara says no. Hasa mishtei tevos pasikle, mishtei shitim lo pasikle. By Kedar Lomer, it's written as two different words, but they have to be on the same line because they have to be very much connected. That's really where it looks like two words, but it's really one word. They have to be in the same shita. When it comes to this case of Al Hacha, but the case of Bas You're allowed to even separate them on lines. One bas could be on the top line, and Yohana could be on the line below, which clearly indicates that there are two different words. It means a bas of a Yohana, and that's the source that a beta from an animal, that a behema tmeya, of oaf tmeya, is going to be usher to eat midiraisa. Now, I don't know why the Gemara doesn't ask. I'm sure they ask in the Rishonim here. Why don't we say, hi, yo, call, yo,